Well, good afternoon, all you folks at Extended Care. We're delighted again for this opportunity to be with you here in this service. We're just thankful for God keeping this door open and for us to be able to minister to you this way. So let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Lord, I do thank you for this day. I thank you for this Sunday where we can come into your house or if we can watch this service on a DVD or wherever. However you allow us to seek your face, to learn and grow. I just thank you for these opportunities. I just ask that you bless our time this morning, that it would be challenging to us, and that it would cause us to grow in you. Lord, I pray for these people at Extended Care there. I just ask that you would give them strength, give them encouragement, and give them healing where needed. I just ask that you bless our time together now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Verse 22, the title I have here, how are you going to make it? How are we going to make it through life? There's so many trials, pains, which I'm sure you're very well familiar with. How are we going to make it through life? How often do you question yourself, why am I still here? How am I going to keep going? What's going to drive me forward? What's going to drive me forward? Let's read Romans 8, starting in verse 22. It says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. And we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. But what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Verse 26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." So verse 22, it says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together." Now, do you feel like that today? Did you wake up this morning like, man, you're just groaning? You're travailing in pain, your aches, pains. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But there's times in each of our lives where we groan. Groan by some kind of burden, be it physical, perhaps spiritual. Maybe you woke up this morning and you felt the load of guilt. I got to tell you, God can take that guilt away. But maybe you're burdened with something else. Point number one here is we need God-sent peace. How are we going to make it through life? We need God-sent peace. Let's go to Philippians 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. We need peace that only comes from God. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We need the peace of God. It says there that the peace of God passeth understanding. We're burdened at times, and we are, according to our understanding, is terrible. We might get to the point where we say, life ain't worth living. We're not going to make it through this situation. But the peace of God passes through all of that and sees beyond. God sees beyond our pain. God saw beyond his pain on the cross. Let's read verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." So how are we going to keep our minds right? How are we going to keep our, as it says in verse 7, "keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We need to think on things that are godly, pure, holy, and such. Let's go to John 16:33. "This world will never give us peace." We can strive after things that this world has to offer. But it will never give us peace. Only God gives us true peace that passes all understanding. John 16 and verse 33, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have," what? Peace. We can have peace. This is Jesus speaking. And it continues on there saying, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus has overcome the world. And it says there, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." But in Christ, Jesus is saying, you can have peace. So we can have peace through Christ. Go back a few chapters to John 14, verse 27. John 14, let's start in verse 26. It says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God wants to give you peace. Do you need peace today? No doubt you need peace today. We all need peace today. There's so many things that come into our lives every single day. If we were walking in God's peace that passes all understanding, maybe we wouldn't get agitated, frustrated, angry. We need God's peace. A love for God's word will give us peace. Let's go to Psalms 119, 165. Psalms 119, verse 165. It says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." So God's promising here, you're going to have great peace if you love my law. If you're delighting in my law. If you're loving the things of God and not tempted to go after them and be content with God's peace, you're going to have peace. Second point I have here is we need Christ's strength. We need peace. We need strength. Let's go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Or 31, sorry. Isaiah 40, verse 31. We need Christ's strength. We understand that we have no strength in ourselves. We have enough weaknesses to constantly affirm that we can't do it. We're not going to make it unless we have Christ's strength and Christ's peace. Isaiah 41, no, sorry, 40, 31. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." If you wait upon the Lord, he's going to give you strength that only comes from God. Let's go to Philippians 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, 6. He says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." If God's called you to do something, if he's put you in a certain spot, he's going to fulfill while you're there. He's going to give you purpose if you're looking for it. He says, "Being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you." What's God begun in your life? What opportunities of witness has God put into your life? It says there, "A good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." God wants to give you the strength to perform your task. Whatever he's given you to do, God will give you the strength to do it if you ask for his strength and faith. Let's go to John 4. John 4. Verse 31. We're going to be thinking about Jesus in this passage. And he said, "I have meat that ye know not of." You know, we need strength constantly. But where does our strength come from? It comes from God. And Jesus knew that more than anything. It came from God. He was God. John 4 and verse 31 starting there, it says, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, 'Master, eat.'" So Jesus is no doubt weary, hungry. And his disciples saying, "Jesus, you got to eat. You got to eat. How are you going to make it with your phone? Eat." Verse 32, "But he said unto them, 'I have meat that ye know not of.'" They're thinking, "Oh, really?" Verse 33, "Therefore said the disciples one to another, 'Hath any man brought him aught to eat?'" So they're trying to figure this out. "Oh, he ate already. He doesn't need our food." Verse 34, "Jesus said unto them, 'My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work.'" And his disciples are probably saying, "Oh, this is spiritual." But Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." His strength came from doing God's will. His peace came from doing God's will. And that we should be the same. God's given us things to do, and we should trust that God's going to enable us to do them, because he's promised to give us his strength, his peace, if we wait upon the Lord, if we trust in the Lord. Well, let me get another page of notes here. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. You know, I wish I could come before you and say, living the Christian life, there's no struggles, there's no trials, there's no temptations, there's no pains. But there is. And we need to learn how to deal with them. How are we going to make it? 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. It says, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So Jesus is saying, if you want to live a godly life, if you want to live like I did, if you want to be like Christ, you're going to suffer persecution. So, how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to go through persecution, or how are we going to go through trials, great afflictions of the flesh, whatever it is in our lives, how are we going to go through it in Christ's strength? Now, the last thing I'd like to look at here is, are you going to make it to heaven? You know, it's important to think about, how are we going to live a godly life? How are we going to do this or that on earth? But how are you going to make it to heaven? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. It says, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" So I'd like to challenge you, examine yourself. Have you ever cried out to Jesus saying, "Lord, I am a sinner, forgive me. I believe that you came to this earth to die for me, and that you paid the price, you paid my sin debt. God paid for it all." And will you trust that? Have you ever trusted in Jesus Christ? If you haven't, you need to do that today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. God's calling on you today. Don't let it go another day. Let's go to Matthew 7:21. How do you know if you're going there for sure? Matthew 7, verse 21. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?' And then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" So here we see people coming before Jesus, and he's saying, "I never knew you. Though you did so many good works for me, I never knew you." They thought they were doing things in Jesus' name. They thought they were earning salvation through their good works. The Bible says, "For not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, we're saved." So the key there, verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." Do you know God, and does God know you? Are you His child? If you've called out to Him pleading for salvation, you are His child. Let's go to John chapter 3. So how do we become His child? How do we know for sure we're saved and we're on our way to heaven? We're going to make it to heaven. John 3, start in verse 3. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." So what does it mean to be born again? Yes, obviously we're all born physically. We can all see that. But how are we born spiritually? This is what it's talking about, being born spiritually. We are born spiritually when we put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ, that He wants to call us children. And He will if we call upon Him for salvation, acknowledging that we're sinners and that we need His salvation. Same chapter, let's skip down to verse 15. This is a promise here. It says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe in Him? With all your heart, do you believe in God? Verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The work's already done, folks. Will you believe in it? Question yourself that today. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? If you do, thank God, praise God, and go on in faith. And God will give you peace. He will give you strength to go through tasks. And when you're asking for strength and peace, God's only going to give it to us if we have faith. That God has the ability to give it to us and that God wants to give it to us. So as we even go through the rest of this day and through the rest of this week, we need God's help. We need God's peace. We need God's strength, or else we're not going to make it. We must constantly go before God saying, "Lord, I need You. Lord, I need You." And God has promised to come through. He's promised to help you and to be with you all the time. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank You once again for this day. I thank You for Your love. Father, I thank You for coming to this earth to die for me. Lord, I don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. But, oh God, we're so grateful. Lord, I just ask that You would strengthen these people, that You would give them peace. Lord, they need heaven-sent peace. They need strength, they need healing. I just ask that You would bless them even this day. Father, I ask that You would help us to constantly be crying out to You, for Lord, we do need You. We need Your help. Lord, we just trust that You will help us. I just thank You for all that You've done, for saving our souls. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone watching this today that has never called upon Your name for salvation, I ask that they would do that today, saying, "Lord, I believe that You're God. I believe that You came to this earth to die for me, to pay for all my sin." Lord, I just ask that You would do a mighty work today. I pray in Jesus' name.